do not have any financial relationships to disclose. I want to start by telling you about our university and a little bit about the community hospital with which we partner very closely. This presentation is about an innovative partnership between our two institutions that serves to enhance the health of the community, the larger community. It serves to increase our students' learning, the opportunity for faculty to engage in research, and the opportunity for physicians who do not typically do research in this hospital to engage in research, to utilize the benefits of having a faculty and university ready to partner with them. James Madison University is a comprehensive master's level institution with several doctoral programs. We have over 19,000 students. We're located just 2 hours from here. Rockingham Memorial Hospital is a community hospital that's about 100 years old that serves a 7-county region. 200,000 patients a year are served. It has a very active emergency department, which is the 8th, I believe, largest and busiest emergency department in the state. So it's a very active hospital that recently affiliated with Sentara Healthcare, if you're familiar with Sentara. We have, among our two institutions, a history of collaboration in clinical care initiatives, and we wanted to go beyond that. So in 2007, the president of RMH Healthcare and the vice provost for science, technology, engineering, mathematics, health, and human services at JMU worked together to initiate a formalization of the collaboration between our two institutions. We had, as I said, a long history of all kinds of collaborations, and this formalization allowed active exploration and initiation of ideas for collaboration between our two institutions in ways that hadn't been done in the past. I should mention that we do not have a medical school. One of the first ideas that was launched or that was offered was for the creation of a medical school. We believe that we actually benefit from not having a medical school. We have a lot of education-related initiatives and a lot of clinical education, but we choose not to initiate a medical school at JMU. You'll see that the mission of the collaborative is to create a climate that fosters innovation. We want to nurture opportunities for individuals throughout both organizations to collaborate, though not in a formalized, hierarchical kind of way. The collaborative is guided by a steering team. And if I can go back, you'll see here the members of the steering team. Emily and I have been members of the steering team since the outset. And you'll see that there are 4 individuals from each institution that serve on this steering team. That enables us to utilize a broad network of individuals throughout both institutions that we can call upon when an idea is offered that needs some resources in terms of human capital, in terms of knowledge and connections in either organization. The goals of the JMU-RMH Collaborative are rather simple, yet rather significant. We want to facilitate collaborative initiatives that match the mission and priorities of both institutions. That's very significant to us. These initiatives have community benefits, and those communities may be within our institutions and the broader community at large. Since the launch of the collaborative, over 100 collaborative initiatives have been launched, and at least 30 to 40 are active at any one time. Many of them are launched, are explored, and then continue. Others accomplish a very specific short-term goal, and they may be completed at that time. We have initiatives that are focused on research and scholarship. An example comes from a group of faculty who call themselves the Medicinal Research Collaborative, who are conducting research with medicinal implications. These individuals needed to consult with a physician about some of their ideas. And I received a phone call one day from one of those individuals, made a phone call to RMH, and quickly got in touch with a physician who would be willing to collaborate with these individuals to talk with them about their research. That physician ultimately provided them with tissue samples that allowed them to engage in further testing and write their article for publication. There's also been retrospective research on differences in heart failure, differences in, across genders, and we discovered that in our area, the statistics are a little bit different than what we might see in some other areas. That's important knowledge for our physicians in the community to have, as well as our healthcare providers. We have a number of evidence-based practice initiatives related to nausea and pain control, related to pain assessment in cognitively impaired patients. We have the development of simulation initiatives to train both our nurses at RMH and our nursing students at JMU. We have a number of education-based initiatives, one that was undertaken for a period of time and culminated in a few weeks ago was a stroke conference that enabled RMH to be stroke certified and allowed our nurses and our nursing students to gain additional education related to stroke and stroke care and stroke management. We also have a number of solution-driven initiatives. These may address a problem in one or the other organization. They may be aimed at a particular goal. An example is the implementation of medical imaging on the sidelines of JMU athletic events. RMH has provided radiology imaging equipment that is present on the sidelines for athletic events. We have a sports management individual from RMH, from JMU, there with the equipment. We have a medical doctor employed by JMU, and we have staff from RMH there on the sidelines to quickly assess and diagnose injuries so that a determination can be made quickly about the outcome for that athlete. We have other solution-driven initiatives as well. Another example is trying to get research approved quickly that involves both organizations. So we have an individual from each organization sitting on the other's institutional review board that enables quick, speedy, and thorough review of any research protocols. We also have as a goal of the collaborative enhancing internal and external communication. Events like the stroke conference, events like advances in healthcare initiatives, are ones that we want to see communicated very quickly and effectively to the community. And the collaborative enables that to happen, with the members of the steering team being representatives who are employed throughout the organizations. That enables us to get the word out very quickly. We use a website, we use a newsletter, we use other means of communication as well. I want to share a little bit about the features of our collaborative in terms of its organization. We have a charter that's very simple. This details the leadership of the collaborative, the roles of the steering team members. We have a rotating facilitator. We have a facilitator for the steering team that rotates each year from one organization to the other, and that helps us to maintain this collaborative as something that exists as a partnership rather than an initiative and an ownership by one or the other organization. We have an annual celebration each spring where we report to the leadership of both organizations, to physicians, nurses, staff, students, about the accomplishments through the collaborative each year. And at that time, we recognize what we call wins, which I'll describe in a moment. We also annually provide at least one opportunity for individuals to come together after work hours around hors d'oeuvres, an open bar, and tables with themed conversation to allow them to explore topics about which they might like to collaborate. And we find that this provides an opportunity for the initiation of new ideas, as well as the opportunity for individuals to join in on conversations already underway or projects already underway to which they might bring some added expertise. We have a system for tracking initiatives. We have a database in which the steering team maintains information about the progress on each initiative, the individuals involved, and that enables all of us to be able to keep up with what's happening with any of the initiatives and to determine where some attention might be needed, where some support might be needed. And to that end, we have a contact for each initiative who's a member of the steering team. That individual is responsible for contacting the champions of each initiative, offering assistance where needed, checking on progress, and making sure that there's no frustration about progress and there's an ability to move each initiative forward. Here are some of the responsibilities of our collaborative steering team. This is not a formal partnership. It is formalized in the sense that it has received support from the highest levels of both organizations. There's renewed, there's ongoing commitment from them. And they serve to reinforce that at every opportunity through conversation with us on the steering team, through advice, through a little bit of resources now and then. The collaborative steering team provides the guidance and support and the structure in just the ways that I've described. We facilitate the progress of initiatives. An individual may approach any one of us with an idea, and then we are a resource to help launch that idea in whatever form may be needed. We review ideas. Ideas may be submitted in any way. There's no wrong door. People walk up to us in the hallways. We have a website, as I mentioned, and on that website, individuals can enter an idea, and they may not know who else could help them with that idea, and that's the responsibility of the steering team, to have conversation about who that might be. We disseminate information through a website, and we also track outcomes through our database to determine the accomplishments, the number of individuals served, the number of individuals involved. Those individuals who were involved may be anyone in any organization. You'll see here a photo from one of our collaborative events, and there you'll see obviously a physician from the hospital sitting next to a faculty member in the health sciences department. And this is something that you'll see typically at any of our events. You'll see individuals from throughout both organizations. And this is because our goal is really to develop and further that culture of collaboration. And when we don't have the formal structure, instead we have the culture, and it enables collaboration to happen very organically and very naturally and informally. As you'll see here, we do have some formal ways in which collaboration occurs. Research. We have an individual in my college, well, she wasn't my college, she's in the School of Engineering, who was interested in cardiac research. And she was looking at flow, cardiac flow, and the impact on cardiac disease. So we put her in touch with a physician. That research has been going on for about 4 years now. It's a very active research program. We have a number of clinical initiatives to which I referred previously. Several of them are evidence-based practice initiatives, and they are very lively, very ongoing. We have events and conferences that allow people to come together in a formal way to discuss research. A great example is a couple of weeks ago we had an event, and two different groups that were working on women and girls health projects came together at one table, and as a result joined forces, and they will be engaging in work that's greater and will have even more beneficial outcomes than either could have had alone because of the individuals involved. And then there are informal forms of collaboration. Emily and I and our colleagues receive phone calls with some regularity asking us who can help them with something. And because of our networks within our own institutions and because of our close working relationships with our colleagues at the other institution, we're able to quickly find out who can answer a question, who can partner in research, who is willing to engage in some education effort or some other form of collaboration. I want to talk a bit about the life of an initiative. You'll see a photo here from a clinically based initiative. I'm going to talk with you about the development of a voice and swallowing services, which is a clinic that will soon be launched in the hospital that is a clear collaborative effort between JMU and the hospital. A faculty member came to my college from NIH a few years ago. Soon after she arrived, she submitted an idea through the database for a clinic to provide voice and swallowing services of the type that wouldn't be available in our area because of the equipment that she brought with her to the university. And we learned pretty soon that this equipment isn't available in hundreds of miles, so we anticipate attracting patients from several counties and beyond Virginia. I contacted a colleague at RMH to assess their interest. The faculty member and her colleague began to communicate with physicians in the area who were very interested in this. ENT physicians were very interested in this idea. She proposed it as a clinic to provide a diagnostic assessment and initial treatment services with referrals from physicians, and this would also enable her and her colleagues to conduct research using the imaging equipment available at the hospital. It has taken some time to get to the point we are now, and we are really at a terrific point this week. We are moving the equipment into space at the hospital so that we can test it, and the services will be up and running in January of next year. This has been an effort that's involved many, many people. The hospital moved to a new facility last year, and as many of you know, that entails a lot of work for any hospital in many ways, and one of those is their medical record system. They're adopting a new medical record system. So our faculty are being trained in how to use that medical record system so they can enter data from the clinics, from the visitors. Physicians will be referring patients to this center, and that means that there's a lot of cooperation between the hospital's physicians, between the nursing staff. We have developed a lot of protocols for the assessment of individuals, for referrals, for entering of data, what happens if someone crashes when they're in the center. There have been a few challenges, which aren't unanticipated. We have needed to identify financial considerations. The collaborative is not resourced financially. Each initiative must identify resources that it may need. So we've talked about that. We've talked through the legal concerns. So we've had a number of meetings. The collaborative steering team has been involved in actually nudging this forward when there's been a stall. We, because we have this partnership, have been able to identify a person who can answer the next question or who can help to move things forward. That's been very beneficial. We anticipate identifying this as a win. I mentioned the collaborative events that occur, and one of those is a celebration. At those celebrations, we identify wins, projects of which we're proud, projects that have accomplished something. That doesn't mean they're concluded, and then promising projects that we will pay particular attention to and nurture along. Here are examples of wins. The first one is another solution-based one, that wetlands and water quality in relation to the hospital's move. You'll see more wins over the four-year life of this collaborative. As we look forward, our plan is to formally evaluate the collaborative and its outcomes for both institutions and the community. Emily is leading the effort there. One challenge we have is tracking the many projects. Because we've developed a culture and many of the collaborations happen naturally, we don't always hear about them early on or sometimes at all, and we want to be able to track what they are so we can celebrate them. There are some challenges in communication as we grow that we're working on. And as I mentioned, we are not funded. Therefore, one opportunity is to seek grants jointly to identify other ways of funding our initiatives. We have learned several lessons along the way, which I imagine wouldn't be any surprise to you. We have found that our flexible structure really is a strength because there is no wrong door. There are no boundaries for participation. And the common language and understanding priorities is very important. We need to maintain a focus on the mission of our institutions and be able to talk with one another so that we don't become frustrated when there are obstacles. This commitment to collaboration has been very effective in helping us through any of those challenges that may arise. And finally, I'll point to the Community Campus Partnerships for Health, Principles of Good Community Campus Partnerships, as principles and themes that underlie all that we do in this collaborative. These really are descriptive of the work that we're doing. Thank you.